o'clock hour of Boogie and Tausch
begins now. All right, Tausch, quick question. So you obviously played on some of the greatest offensive lines the Packers ever had. And even in years where there were injuries, I think back to 2002 when you blew out your ACL and then Warren Sapp cheap shots Cliffy, and you've got Frank Winters playing center because you had to move your center, Mike Flanagan, out to left tackle, which you don't see happen very often. I feel like they always kind of found a way, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like this line, to this point anyway, has found a way even before Elgton Jenkins' injury. Now Elgton Jenkins is hurt. How confident are you that they will find a way, and why do you think they haven't?
It's a good question. Am I confident that they will improve and get better? Yes. I don't know if they have anything that they kind of hang their hat on. I thought it was duo blocking out of gun because that's what Josh Jacobs likes. I know for us, our group, we had a couple of things that I knew, all right, I mean, you maybe will stop it, but you're not going to, you know, if we ran 96 power, we were going to get some yards. We had Mike Wall pulling around. We had, you know, me and Marco down blocking, down Flanny back blocking. Our tight end Bubba would cover his guy up, and we would either bust some or we were going to be consistent with what we were doing. And then we had different action off of that. We'd toss crack and bring Kevin Berry in. There were things that we were, and that's where I think Brian was saying this inside zone is something that I think Matt LaFleur feels good about with this group. But when you spread things out and you do things a little bit differently, you're asking your guys to do things maybe that they're not great at. So I would just say you get in your meeting room and you talk to Butkus and you talk to Steno and you say, what is our group really good at? Because as a football player, I always look, especially as an old lineman, I always looked at it like, how can I position myself to play to my strengths as many reps as I possibly can? There's going to be some times I'm in a bad spot or anything else, and you just got to weather that storm. But how can I line up and get position myself to give myself the best chance to be successful? I don't know if this group is doing that right now, and that's where you have to marry that up. I don't know what I would say, boy, this is where this group is really good. If it's play action pass or if it's, you know, I think their inside zone game and some of the stuff that they do, the duo, Josh Jacobs is a heck of a running back. And you see when he is able to get to the line of scrimmage, he's getting, even on one plays that are blocked for one, he'll get you three.
Right.
So instead of it being second 90, second 7, and you can live with that. And then he busts a couple for 10 or 11, and that's why I was really surprised when I saw you only average 3.5 a carry, because it felt like it was more, at least on my end. I felt like he was more than that.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case. So I'm not – I don't think they're as bad of a pass-blocking group as maybe some people do. There are some pressures, and we saw some stunting that I think got – you know, Aaron Banks, I saw a couple times, wasn't able to get off on his guy to be able to pass the stunt off, and that's what happens. You do that once or twice, teams will continue to do it. But I think this is something – you don't need to have the most dominant group. You need to have a group that can consistently – cover people up, and then let your skill guys go to work. I'd love to see Matthew Golden get back out there. I'd love to find ways to utilize him in ways that you use Tucker, intermediate stuff, yards after catch, etc., and get it to your – find your guys that you believe in, because you know, I can think back to 06 and 07 when our O-line was going through a transition, and we were not the best O-line. But it was, how do we, what can we do to function? And we basically said, man, we got Greg Jennings, we got Drive. Get him the ball and let him go to work. So a lot of quick stuff. There's ways to help regain confidence. And I think that's where I'm looking from Matt LaFleur's standpoint to figure out, all right, how do we get that, find that, and then build off of that?
I also had one follow-up question to your wager on the Packers over under for wins. You said it was 9.5, right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
If they go 4-4 in their final 8 games, they will finish 9-7-1.
Yeah.
A tie would be a half a win. Would that be a push or is it not working?
No, we'd lose.
No, it's not.
It's a fat
that
L. That'd be a fat L.
Oh, okay. But you still love everything about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
I love Hard Rock Casino Rockford, and in their fault. We went down there, had a heck of a time. Jesse cashed. I don't know, did you put Pat Murphy down for Manager of the Year?
Not,
or at that point, you wanted him fired, so you didn't.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of fun things, and they have the great sports book. They have all the live table games, the slots, everything, the great food. They also have a great high-limit play as well. Now is the time to experience what true high-limit play feels like, surrounded by rhythm, indulgence, and unmistakable energy down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. They'll elevate the high-limit room experience to deliver premium table games that are tailored for discerning players with enhanced game rules that include blackjack, where the dealer stands on a soft 17. Haven't asked what you should do, 12 versus 13, but they'll have that. You'll enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that will set Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. Your next hand could be your best yet. Visit the High Limit Room at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford and rediscover your game on your terms, in your rhythm, and with your edge, and it is only about an hour from the greater Madison area.
More Will D. Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. Ready for Uncle Homer, who will join us coming up. But first, Jesse, I appreciate everything you do, including questioning Pat Murphy's bona fides. I know how important power rankings are to you, and obviously Tuesday after a Monday game that the Packers are in, we take calls. So I cede the floor to you for this week's Power Rankings Wednesday.
Riley, do you have any special music you were working on back there that you could play for us during this review of the power rankings from ESPN's NFL Nation?
Ah, it's the good stuff.
I am going to read you the
Jason, power what rankings. Did you hear about the kicking game? Like, what I didn't hear, what did Matt LaFleur have to say about that yesterday?
He didn't talk yesterday. He talks today
at
1:30.
He's only talking today.
When did you guys last talk to him? You haven't talked to him
after
at all yesterday?
Game. We've not talked
don't we usually
to him
talk to him on Mondays after a Sunday game?
We do, yep. Mm-hmm.
And was it a Tuesday after a Monday game?
Yes, it was.
So why didn't we have discussions?
Because he was not made available.
He said yesterday that's normal after a Monday game.
Road Mondays, maybe. Okay, whatever. That's irritating.
Look, I would just say this. Again, many things have changed since you played in the league, including the fact that last week with a Monday game, usually there's just an extra day of actual practice leading into that game. That is not the case in today's NFL, or at least in today's Green Bay Packers realm. And he did not speak the day after the loss to the Eagles. He talks today at 1:35. So,
okay.
I'm sure the kicking game will be a question, because I do think, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, I'm going to say, you know, Aikman mentioned on the broadcast that McMahon has told him he's still hurt. So why is he kicking?
Good question.
That's my biggest question for him, more than anything else.
What was on the Microsoft tablet is my biggest question.
Well, yeah, it's a good
one. Were you
too
ordering a pizza?
Your new number, I feel like the number one team in the power rankings has changed in the last like 5 weeks in a row. Who do you think the new number one is?
Rams.
Tausch.
Rams.
The Rams are number two.
Seahawks?
No, the Seahawks are number five.
Oh, it's the Eagles?
Philadelphia Eagles, number one.
This
week's ESPN NFL.
I'm not going to lie to you, I was not impressed with what Philly did at Lambeau, and that's what made the loss so blech to me.
Eagles one, Rams two. The Indianapolis Colts with the MVP, Jonathan Taylor, number three. Patriots four, Seahawks five. That's your top five.
Well, I'll tell you what, Denver's 8-2, and they lost one game because of complete BS. It's probably going to cost them the one seed with that dumb leverage call that they never call on anybody ever. And Denver's not in the top five?
And they're not even in the top seven.
Their offense stinks, but I just watched Philly's offense. Now, granted, Green Bay's got a really good defense. I don't know, Jim.
6, Detroit.
Yeah.
7, Buffalo.
Okay. Buffalo's ahead of Denver?
Yeah. 8, Tampa.
Yeah.
How is
Denver Broncos?
Denver is 8-2.
Yeah, they are.
The Denver Broncos at 8-2 are 9th in this week's ESPN NFL Nation power rankings.
I wonder where the Packers are.
Because they look bad, too. They only won 10-7 against the
Raiders. Yeah, they're getting dumber. These power rankings are getting dumber as the weeks go by.
The Chargers are 10. The Chiefs are 11. Nuthawack. And in at number 12, one spot in front of number 13, the San Francisco 49ers, your 5-3-1 Green Bay Packers, low water mark of the year, 12th in the NFL Nation.
Yeah, they
rankings.
Should be. Their offense has proven to be pretty bleh, and I don't think they'll finish there. I think they're, you know, this is going to be this stretch after this Giants game. They need to beat the New York Giants. If they lose to the Giants, we'll be at NORAD 5.
DEFCON 1.
Whatever. Because now you're talking about playing Detroit, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago. Things can unravel very, like a spool of your cat's yarn. It can unravel very quickly. So this is a must-win. Green Bay is in a position here where I don't think any of us really thought. I didn't think it when after starting off 2-0 with the schedule, we had Waddle saying 8-0 and all this other stuff. These last 2 weeks have been a humbling experience as a Packers fan. And I think you have to at least take into account, I don't know how much better. Our offense has to be better because the alternative is I can't believe how bad they are. So I'm trusting in Matt LaFleur that will get better. I think he's earned that trust from his past performance, but now we got to see it. And this would be a good week to see it. This is very fair. That is a fair ranking for Green Bay. I think Denver's got screwed.
And
I think Kansas City has been screwed on that.
So, by the way, San Francisco 13, the Chicago Bears 14.
Yeah, the Bears still have to prove it, but they are ahead of the G&G. So if they wanted to put them ahead of the G&G in this, I would have been fine with that too.
The NFL has its strength of victory that they calculate every week. The Bears, who right now, if the season ended today, at 6-3, would be the number 6 seed. Their strength of victory is .272. For context, the only team with a worse strength of victory in the NFC is the Cowboys at 2-4-1. The Eagles' strength of victory is 5-1-6. So the Bears have won 6 games, but what that says is that the quality of those wins is low. Do you think that they are still not a very good team that's just won more games than we expected them to and will come back to earth? Because there's a lot of division games to be played between the Packers and all 4 division teams down the stretch here.
I think the Bears have earned everything they've gotten, and confidence is a hell of a deal. Mm-hmm. We saw when they lost that Hail Mary game to Washington last year, the bottom dropped out. Mm-hmm. This year, they're finding ways to win games. I am not going to poo-poo. Oh, well, they beat a bunch of bad teams. Green Bay's lost a bunch of bad teams.
Also true. So, no doubt about it.
This league, you can solve things. You can pop things. You can Ken Palm things. I don't care. All the whatever you want to do, it is hard to win. And if you don't believe me, ask the Green Bay Packers with 2 home games that they scored 20 points and didn't get a win in either of them. It is hard. I am not going to dumb it down into some silly equation of it. The Chicago Bears have 6 wins, and they deserve a ton of credit for finding 6 wins in this schedule. I don't care. Now, does that mean that they're going to go run the table and win the playoffs? Their schedule is going to get tougher. Mm-hmm. They got 2 into G&G. They got another Detroit. They got a Minnesota game coming up there. I don't know who else they even play, but I can assure you they are feeling themselves right now. And confidence in sports is everything. Mm-hmm. They're a more confident football team than Green Bay Packers are right now.
Great answer. The Bears' wins are over the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Commanders, the Saints, the Bengals and the Giants, for those of you who were wondering.
By the way, that Saints win that everybody thinks stinks, they just went into Carolina. Carolina's crowd all fired up. We just beat the Pack at Lambeau. And, oh, crowd shows up, everything else, and they get beat 17-7. So that's why I'm just telling you, man, and this is why I love the NFL. Every week is a blanket adventure.
It's true.
And you ride the wave of that adventure. So to solve things and to Ken Palm, and that's where I'm just out on it. I think it's dumb.
Strength of victory, sob.
You said it. I didn't. Yeah, you sobbed it.
I didn't abbreviate it. I was just wanted to clarify the abbreviation. That's very.
Well, I'm trying to
Thank
keep
you.
Us on the clock. So
we'll keep turns us on the clock. But too late.
Turns out it went the opposite way because then you had to emphasize what I sobbed. You know what I mean?
Some might say your favorite sob is Tito's vodka.
Ooh, I'd put some in this coffee right now, but it's only 10 a.m. So I'd go with a Bloody Mary if I was going to do that. Then it would be Tito's handmade vodka in there. Tito's handmade vodka is always my go-to. It's made in Austin, Texas, the first legal distillery in that state. It's distilled 6 times for a clean, smooth finish, and it is naturally gluten-free. And you know what? They make great drinks, but they also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it is Tito's handmade vodka in that glass, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Homer's next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Whatever you do, make Boy, sure if you thought you that button. Homer and John Whatever Anderson do, got to me sure late for my appearance last night on their show, I am even worse today. But joining us now, he is the GOAT of Wisconsin Sports Talk Radio. You can hear him not only on the Homer Hour, the best 46 minutes of your day, but also as the voice of Marquette men's basketball for year 36 at the mic, and of course on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. It is Steve the Homer. True Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I got about 7 minutes. Let's roll.
Great. How concerned are you about the Green Bay Packers now that you've had some time since the end of Green Bay game night to think about it?
Clearly, LaFleur has a major problem changing things when he has to pass more instead of run more. When he had to change to another quarterback and it meant running more, he was fantastic. He clearly has no idea what to do or doesn't want to do what he needs to do. This is a major problem. Doesn't make any sense, but we have observed other things he's done. He's done them so well. We viewed what he did with Willis as outstanding. Exactly the opposite is going on. Brian Bulaga neglected to say that they need to do exactly what I told him last week they needed to do, and that is pass the ball first, use the pass to set up the run. He said, you got to run the ball, and clearly they don't. And until LaFleur agrees with that, understands it, and can do it, this crap's going to continue.
So how much confidence do you have that he will do that?
I have confidence in him. I mean, I can't believe he's this bad. He's just not. We used to argue, how good is he? Is he good enough?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure that he is as a head coach. But in terms of handling an offense, this is like asking if he's good enough to know he's got to put on his shoes before he goes out to the game. That's the hard part. I can't comprehend being this bad because he's a good offensive mind. So what, does he have such little faith in his quarterback? Well, we had very little faith in Willis, but figured out a way to use him the best way and have a good offense. Their offense was better with Willis than it is now.
Homer, are you going there?
No.
What? No, I'm not going there.
Are you going there? You just dipped your toe in. I feel like you just said the offense was better with Malik Willis. You just said it.
Right, which was an emphasis to go to Malik Willis, and it's good. I'm glad that you clarified this. But it's an explanation of how good LaFleur can be. But was he good only because that's what he wants to do, run the ball first?
He does.
You think he's stubborn?
Yeah.
You think he's stubborn?
Or I don't know.
How do you get rid of? You're an old stubborn man. How did you change from being that?
He has
never changed.
Okay.
I've never changed anything.
You've never changed.
5 years old.
So why would LaFleur change?
I was never in the situation. I was never in the situation that he's in. I'd probably have changed, but
hitting forehands at Brad Gilbert down in Arizona. You did.
No, I didn't. I was just not good, and I didn't change that.
Didn't you beat Brad Gilbert? Am I wrong on that?
I definitely didn't beat Brad Gilbert. I beat a couple people that never should have lost to me, but I can't explain why. So I take no credit for it. I was more surprised than they were. So anyway,
Homer,
back to the Packers.
Homer, Matt LaFleur, as the Packers head coach, is 75-41-1 in his time.
What is Steve Mariucci's first 6 or 7 years, Jason?
I was just about to look that up. Because
they were very good, and then they got worse after they got rid of him. I think that's important to understand.
They did.
That
is true.
You have drawn the parallel. Steve Mariucci's career record in San Francisco was 57-39. Not so good in Detroit, 15-28, obviously.
Yeah, Detroit, he stunk.
And with the playoffs, his time in San Francisco, they were 60-42. You have drawn that comparison. I believe you drew it again on Green Bay game night before I joined you.
He did.
You said this a while ago. Do you feel even more strongly about it now that he is not the modern-day George Seifert who won a Super Bowl and had the best record after 3 seasons as a head coach? Are you more certain than ever that he's the new Steve Mariucci?
Certain is a bad word, but yeah, he's too nice. He's just like Mariucci. He's too nice. And he doesn't understand. I don't know Mariucci that. Doesn't understand the need, if he's not going to be it, to have some crazy person who helps set a standard of toughness. Yeah, he's, here's the issue. Here's the number with LaFleur that everybody is going to run with. 39-10 first 3 years. 33-26-1 since then. And the important part is it wasn't all Rodgers. He had Rodgers for 1 year. It started with Rodgers and his continued sense.
Oh, you're counting 22, 23, 24, and so far in 25. So the 8-9 Rodgers year is included.
After 3 years, he was considered and statistically maybe the greatest first 3 years ever in the history of the league. It was pretty close to that, right? 39-10. I think it was probably a steeper comparison. And since then, 33-26-1. You better have an answer to it. But I don't think anybody does. And the key to using that is it started with Rodgers. It didn't start after Rodgers. You can't say this is all about a young quarterback. I'm open to answers. This is not about how good he is anymore. This is about how bad he is. He's not this bad.
George Seifert in his first 3 seasons as the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, 89-90-91, won the Super Bowl in his first year, taking over for Bill Walsh, 38-10.
Yeah.
38-10.
Yeah.
They had one more game, obviously, because they expanded to 17 games for that last of the 3 years of LaFleur's first portion of his tenure.
The Packers got George Seifert in LaFleur, and now 33-26-1. They got that's not even Mariucci. Mariucci was way better than that. I apologize to Mariucci. Now he's, who is he? 33-26-1.
I don't know. Mike Sherman was better than that too. But again, the first 3 years still counting his record as well. All right, Homer, we know you've got to play Uber driver.
Gotta go.
Gotta go. Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
There you go. That is Steve the Homer True.
Might have been his best appearance ever.
There was certainly a conciseness to it because we got too late and he had to go.
Yeah, he kind of kept it buttoned up.
Yeah,
he kept it buttoned.
Is there video yet posted of your visit to Jones Dairy Farm? Is that available?
There's a bunch of bunch of videos available. What the heck are you talking about?
Your most recent
visit. No, that will be out.
The big cook-off.
Thank you.
The big cook-off. Well, thank you. Yeah, we had a great time.
I would apologize.
I'm not going to apologize, but I thank you for offering that up. It's Jones Dairy Farm, family owned and operated for seven generations in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889, and best known for their all natural sausage made from the original family recipe, available in pork, chicken, and turkey. And we had that dish again. The Orza made it again with that crispy edged pork. It's so good, and it's all natural, all fresh meat, no fillers, nitrates, MSG, or gluten. And you know what? Jones products are perfect for the holidays. You want to make things simple? Go get a smoked ham. It adds so much flavor. You also got the natural sausage rolls that'll upgrade any stuffing recipe. So you're looking to make your holiday spread just that little bit better. Jones Dairy has you covered. Find Jones products in grocery stores all across Wisconsin. Check the website, Product Finder, at jonesdairyfarm.com.
More with Jesse and Tausch live from Vortex in Barneveld with trivia coming up with Barneveld Joe scheduled to appear.
Vortex Joe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to ask him what he prefers.
Just not up north, Joe. He's not available today. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around. With Jesse and Tausch live from Vortex. Talked a lot about optics, not just rangefinders and binoculars, scopes, but the optics of Matt LaFleur and his back to the field tablet work. Tausch, have you come up with any better way for me to ask that question?
No, but I haven't put any thought into it either. So, you're in a tricky spot. Normally, I'd say just go ahead and do it, but this is more of a little bit of a delicate balance and a little dance that you have to come up with.
Yeah.
There is a lot of fun that I think can go into this.
If they'd only want.
I don't know if he's in, I'm not sure he's in that mood. I know typically I've been around enough when you've lost. Everybody tightens up a bit is
cranky.
Probably the nicest way of putting it. So I'm not sure how you're going to go about doing that, but – if they'd let you use visuals, it'd be really funny.
Comes in with a poster.
You brought your own visuals and we're able to do it that way. That would be fantastic. I'm not sure that's something you're going to be able to do, though.
We'll not be able to be projecting some of the examples of memes up onto the screen.
Comes out with a pointing stick up in the front of the
little red laser dot. Here you're ordering a pizza. Here you're playing Fruit Ninja. All right. Well, I'll have to figure that out because I do think it's something that needs to be asked, along with the kicking situation and what he plans on doing beyond giving up the play calling. Because I do not see that. No way, right? 0% chance.
Zero is too strong, but I'd be shocked if that's the road he wanted to go down, because I do think that's the beginning of the end if he does that.
I tend to agree. Although Mike McCarthy gave it up and then just took it back and everything was fine.
Was it?
Yeah, he did it in 15. 16, they went to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. When did he get fired?
18.
Said it was the beginning of the end. And then say it was going to be a beginning and end immediately.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the beginning of a new season of Behind the Bucks. The fantastic podcast that you can find on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Locked In, narrated by Bucks legend Marcus Johnson, takes you inside the team's pursuit of a championship this year. Hear from the Bucks stars on how the competition is building chemistry and fueling another run to win it all. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks,
presented by Gallagher. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.